In this sicha, as you can see, it's from Shabbos Parshas Azriya Metzera, and it's Sefer HaSichos Tovshin Nun Aleph, page 490. Just to give a little introduction to the sicha, this sicha was said on that Shabbos, which is Vav Iyar. And the Shabbos was a very unusual Shabbos, the Fabrengen. First of all, let me just remind ourselves the background of the sicha. This was a little bit over a week after Chav Ches Nissan. Chav Ches Nissan, that was when the Rebbe spoke, and spoke so strongly, and he said, do everything you can. And in that sicha, the Rebbe said, I did everything I can to bring Mashiach. Now all I can do is give it over to you and do everything you can. This is over a week later. And in this Fabrengen, the Rebbe spoke about Mashiach in a very, very strong way. At the Fabrengen, in those days, the custom was that people who were making events, building a new base Chabad, a dinner, Fabrengen, they would go up to the Rebbe and put down, they would give it to him before Shabbos, a bottle of mashke, and then the Rebbe would give it back to them. He would pour a little bit into his cup and then pour back from his cup into the bottle, give them the bottle. That was the Rebbe's participation in whatever event they were making. The Rebbe also requested that they go up and not only announce what they're going to do, but that they invite everybody to their event. This was the same of every Shabbos. And that Shabbos, there was an individual, maybe some of you heard the story from him, but we were all there when it happened. His name is Rabbi David Nachshon from Eretz Yisrael. And he gave in a bottle for a special event also. But again, to understand the special event, let's give a little bit of the background. After the sikh of Chav Ches Nissan, when the Rebbe said those words that I did everything I can, and I'm giving it over to you, do everything you can, naturally everyone had the question, how could we understand such words? Now the Rebbe is saying that something that he could not do, and giving it over to us, that we can do. That if he can do, we surely can do. How could it be that he can't and we could? The way Chassidim understood it at that point was that just a few weeks earlier, the Rebbe made a statement also in a sicha, it was later publicized and edited, where the Rebbe said that Mashiach has already been appointed. And that year, the Rebbe was saying, the Rebbe's kapitel was kapitel pei tes, 89. And this was a sicha before the kapitel change, it was before Yud Aleph Nissan. So the Rebbe said in the kapitel it says Matzasi David Abdi, which means Hashem already appointed Mashiach. All that we're missing now is that the people should accept Mashiach upon themselves. Those were the Rebbe's words. So when the Rebbe said this sicha, he said, I did everything I can, now I'm giving it over to you to do what you can. The way Siddham understood this was, the only thing we can do that Prayokal the Rebbe can do is the acceptance of the Rebbe as Mashiach. A king has to be accepted by the people, he can't accept it upon himself. There's a joke that's told, or maybe it's a true story, but it's a humorous story about a certain Rebbe that passed away, and he had a few sons. And actually there was a big question, who should become the new Rebbe? So it wasn't clear. Some thought this one, some thought that one. And then one day, one of the sons comes to the Rebbetzin, in other words, his mother, the wife of the previous Rebbe, and he says to the mother, you can give me mazel tov. She says, why, what happened? She said, I had a dream that our father came to me in the dream and told me that I should become the Rebbe. So the mother says, wait a second. When the Chassidim are going to have such dreams, that's when I'll tell you Mazel Tov. The fact that you had the dream, I can't tell you Mazel Tov yet. Now, of course, there's two ways to interpret such a story. One way is that you'd have such dreams is understood. They have to have the dreams. But the other way of interpreting it, that even if it was a real dream and he really had a revelation from Shemaim, they have to become the person, but he can't become the Melech until the people accept him. So they have to have that inspiration. So basically, that's the way it is with the Melech, and that's the way it is with Mashiach. And we learned here in this class the famous Sikha that Rabbi gave, Beis Nissen, that Mashiach has to be accepted by the people. So Thursday night before this Shabbos, there was a big gathering of 770, a big Fabrengen, and everybody joined together and wrote a document of Kabbalah Samalchus. About 250 people signed the document they're accepting the Rebbe as Mashiach, and they gave it into the Rebbe. And that Friday morning, in other words, this was Thursday night, and Friday, the Rebbe gave out an answer. And the answer was Niskabel, which means I received your document, Shuas Chen, thank you. And then the Rebbe added that you should continue in these activities and increase. So naturally everybody was like on fire, but was very excited. And this David Nachshon from Israel, he organized a special Fabrengen in honor of accepting the Rebbe's Malchus. And he put the bottle up on the Rebbe's table. In other words, he gave this bottle into the Rebbe before Fabrengen that he wants to announce it by the Fabrengen. So this part, he tells over that the Rebbe's secretary, Rabbi Groner, told him that normally everybody comes over. As soon as the Rebbe says the time has come to give out the L'chaim, everybody would walk over to the table. He told him, I don't want you walking over unless you'll see me give you a sign that you should come over. Which he understood to mean that he's probably going to verify from the Rebbe whether it's an okay thing or not. And therefore he didn't go over. And then Rabbi Groner motioned to him to come up. And he went up and he took the L'chaim and he announced that this is in connection to a Fabrengen that's going to be for Hachtaras HaMalchus, for crowning the Rebbe as Melech HaMashiach. And then he started to sing Yechi. That was the first time they sang Yechi in the Rebbe's presence. They sang Yechi, and the Rebbe acted as if they were singing any other Niggun, and everything was fine and normal. And that was really the first time that such a thing happened. And if you look at the Sikha talks very strongly about the holding of Mashiach, and about the imminence of Mashiach, and about the Rebbe being Mashiach. But let's do piece by piece. First, let's start with page 490, the first page. We're not going to do the whole Sikha. The whole Sikha is very long, and it's a lot of pages, and it's a very deep Sikha. We'll just do certain parts, highlight certain parts. It starts off like this. The Hemshek Lamedubar Umudgish B'Yosef Izman Ha'achram Mamish. In connection to that which has been spoken and emphasized, especially in the most recent time, about the need for every individual to do everything within their capacity, within their power, about the fact that right now is a time where the call of the hour is that everybody, every single individual should do whatever they can to bring Mashiach. Kivish yav meinu eilam mamish im siyum shel chodesh nisan hayo teish nasir en nefloyes kolo kol hakitzin keita yomin ve keita yomin kipshutim mamish. These few lines are amazing lines if you look at them closely. Again, let's read what the Rebbe says. The Yomeinu Eilu Mamish, in these days, which days is the Rebbe talking about? He says clearly, the end of the month of Nisan. And in footnote number one, the Rebbe says, he's referring to the Sikh of Chav Ches Nisan. What happened in these days, Mamish? Kolu Kola Kitzin, the Kitzin came to an end. Where does the word Kate come from? Why do we say Kate or Kitzin? There's a pasuk in Daniel where it talks about the times of Mashiach and calls it Kate Hayomim, the end of days. And sometimes it says Kate Hayomin with a nun, also means the end of days. And Kola Kola Kitzin Kipshutim Amish. From this Sikha, we see an amazing thing. The Rebbe said that on that day, or at the end of the month of Nisan, It was an actual ending to the Golus. That's what it says here. In other words, if you look back at the Rebbe's words, when the Rebbe said, I did everything I can, and now you do everything you can. Those words, were they positive words? Were they negative words? So whoever heard the Sikh heard the Rebbe was upset, the Rebbe was very emotional when he said these words, the Rebbe was loud, and the Rebbe seemed to be saying, like, how come a Sheikh isn't here today? But if you think of the Rebbe's words, we realize there were two parts to it. One word was extremely positive, and the other one was painful. When the Rebbe said the words, I did everything I can, this wasn't frustration, chas v'shalom, it wasn't despair, it was actually telling us good news. The Rebbe was telling us that what he had to do, his avodah, what the Rebbe's part, to bring Mashiach, was completed. That's what the Rebbe told us. And the Rebbe is complaining to us, why didn't we do our part? Which means, the way it's understood, that if we would have been up to par by Chav Ches Nissen, like the Rebbe was up to his Inyan Chav Ches Nissen, that would have been the day of Bi'is Mashiach that came. So the Rebbe is saying here that a certain aspect of the Golus ended mamish in reality, not something spiritual, but in reality there was a certain end to the Inyan of Golus in that month, Chav Ches Nissen. So therefore, certainly taking me at mamish, b'mashir to kenu, kolachad v'echad marab et boi v'ayme, everyone will be able to point their finger and say, hine ze melech ha-mashiach bo, shekvar bo v'loshon ovar, v'rega shalitne rega ze. When you say, hine melech mashiach bo, it could mean two things. Here, Mashiach is coming, or Mashiach came. So we should be able to say, Mashiach came already. This is the beginning of the sikha. The Rebbe is saying, take a miyad, the Rebbe is giving a bracha, that take a miyad, bo Mashiach to Kenu, Mashiach comes, and once Mashiach comes, you'll be able to say, bo, that he came already. There are times and places where the Rebbe says, Mashiach bo, Mashiach came already. Here it's like a lashon of a bracha, but there are sikhs later where the Rebbe says, kvar bo, he's already here. Now the Rebbe says, he's going to explain in this sikha the connection between Geula and Torah, the parsha of the week, the perkiyavis of the week, the time of the month, and the sphere of this time. Of course, we shouldn't forget, and hopefully we'll have some time to go into it a little bit, that tonight is, today is the birthday of the Rebbe Maharaj, Teferes Shebe Teferes, and Chatchila Rebbe has a lot to do with what it says in the Sikha. We'll soon see. Hopefully we'll get to it soon. I'm going to read from Beis. I'm going to translate in English, not read the Hebrew, so we'll be able to cover more ground. In this Pasha, Sazriya Metzera, we see emphasized the union of Geula. Now on the surface, when you read the Pasha, we see both Pashas are, in a sense, the opposite of what Geula is all about. Both Pashas talk about leprosy and about all sorts of negative signs that can be on a person's skin, on a person's clothing, on a person's walls of the house, and impurity, and all these kind of things. To the extent that the Rebbe writes that the Friedrich Rebbe wouldn't even pronounce the name of the Parsha Metzorah. Some people don't call the Parsha by the name Metzorah, they call it Parsha's Tara, because they don't want to say Metzorah. But the Rebbe says that the Friedrich Rebbe avoided both names, he just didn't call it by its name. And here in the Sikha, the Rebbe says, not only that these parshas have something positive in them, both of them are connected very strongly to Mashiach. How is that? The first parsha starts off, Ishike Zazriya V'yolda Zachar, a woman will give birth. So it's known that birth, Bechlal, hints to Mashiach, because redemption is compared to birth. And that's why it says that the pain that we go through with redemption is like birth pain. And it starts off, she'll give birth to a zachar, to a male, because it says that when Mashiach comes, it'll be compared to the birth of a male, not of a female. Where do we see this? When it says, in Tilim, that we'll be singing a shira chadasha, a new song, Lashon HaKevel, not Lashon Zachar. And the Medrash says that why is it? What's the difference? The difference between this redemption, all other redemptions in history, when we went out of Mitzrayim, we went into Golos again, in Babel. When we went out of Babel, we got into Golos again with the Yevonim, with the with Achashverosh and Haman. When we went out of that Golos, we got into Golos again with the Yevonim in the time of Hanukkah. When we went out of that Golos, we went into Golos again with the Romans. So basically, every time there was a Golos and then redemption, came another Golos. And in that sense, this redemption is going to be totally unique. That it's, the Rebbe used to say this constantly, "Agu'ula she'ein achrei ha-golos." It's going to be a kind of redemption and there won't be a golos after. So the Medrash says it's like the difference between a birth of a baby boy or a baby girl. When a woman gives birth to a baby, she goes through a lot of pain. If a baby girl is born, even though her pain is over, but being that it's a girl, now there'll be a new pain when this child grows up and she'll have a baby. And the same will be continuously. But if she has a boy, the boy will grow up, he won't have birth pains. So that means that this is the end of the pains when the boy is born. That's the mushel, it's only a mushel. That's the mushel why the birth of this ge'ul is compared to the birth of a boy. Plus the fact that it says also in another place that when it says v'yoled the zachar, this is hinting to Mashiach. And it says in Kabbalah and Chassidus why the older zachar refers to Mashiach. Another thing, it says Isha ki Sazria, the older Zachar. So the word Sazria, it says in other places that Sazria means like planting a seed. And when we are in Golos, it's also compared to planting a seed. Just like when you plant a seed, you put the seed in the ground, and initially you lose the seed. Initially it's covered, it's hidden, you don't see any benefits. But ultimately, from the seed, what grows out is a tree and grain, crop, and all the wonderful things. So Isha is Klal Yisrael, because we're the Eibush is our husband and we're the wife. And Isha Kizazriya means all the Avodah that we do in the time of Golos, which is compared to planting a seed, because it's a time of concealment. But the purpose is, the older Zachar, there should be the growth, and things will grow out of it, which ultimately will be what? Will be the Golos. So that's how we see that the name Sazria is connected to Mashiach. Where do we see Metzorah is connected to Mashiach? Metzorah means a person who has leprosy. It says in Gemara, what is the name of Mashiach? So the Gemara says Mashiach's name is Chibra the Bei Rebbe, is the Metzorah of Rebbe. Why Metzorah of Rebbe? It's known that Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, suffered terribly. It's an interesting story in Gemara. The Gemara says that there was once a story. And there's no doubt that there's a lot of depth to the story, much more than what appears on the surface. But this is what it says. On one hand, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was an amazing tzaddik. He was like Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the one who wrote the Mishnah. And he was the Nasi Adar. He was from Malchus Beis David, which means he would have been the Melech Yisrael in his time if there would have been kings. And the Gemara says that he was the Mashiach of the generation. And the Gemara calls him Mitzayra. What does that mean? Rabbi Yehuda Nasi suffered terribly. And it says that there was a story where somebody was taking an ox to Shecht, and the ox pulled themselves away from the person, and he was walking by the marketplace, and the ox ran over to him and kind of cuddled up as if to say, "Save me." So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi said softly and gently to the ox that you should go, this is your mission, this is what Hashem created you for, and told him to go back to the Shecht. So the Gemara says in heaven it was decreed that because he didn't have compassion for this animal, there'll be no compassion for him. And he was overcome with some sort of an illness. And for 13 years he had tremendous, terrible suffering. It says that sometimes he would scream from pain that you heard a few blocks away. Which reminds me of what we had over here when the time when the Rebbe was not well, there were times when the Rebbe would literally scream from pain that you can hear it from the distance. Turns out that how was he healed? Ultimately, there was a story that 13 years later, that there was a maid, and she found that the cat had given birth to kittens, and she wanted to take it out of the house. So, and he noticed it, says, "Why are you taking it out of the house? Like, he had compassion on these kittens to leave them in the house." And again, in Shemaim, it says, being that he had compassion on these kittens, will have compassion on him, and he became healed. Now we understand that Rabbeinu HaKadosh was a tzaddik gomer of the highest order, And even among tzaddikim gemurim, he was exceptional. So there's no doubt that he never violated Torah, chas v'shalom, and he wasn't insensitive to animals. So it all has more depth to it. But nevertheless, how is it that Taka, such a big tzaddik, should be suffering? So it says, shenema, because it says, chilinu unasa, machaveinu sovlam, anachnu chashvenu, nagua muka, lakim umuna. It says that Melech HaMashiach will be afflicted with many pains and afflictions because he'll be suffering for us. In other words, his suffering will be to help us overcome what we're missing and be able to go out of Golus earlier. So therefore, the fact that he's suffering is actually connected to the fact that he's Mashiach. So the Gemara calls him Mitzayra because he had all sorts of afflictions. Like a Mitzayra, he was called Mitzayra. So we see Mitzayra is actually the name of Mashiach. And it's just interesting to know that the Rebbe was born on a Friday, Yud Aleph Nissan, and that Friday was Erev Shabbos, Parshas Mitzayra. According to this, that Mitzayra, the name of Mashiach, we see the connection. Then the Rebbe says in the next piece, then the fact that this Parsha has two names, one name is Mitzayra, other people call it Parshas Tara. So the Rebbe says, because Mashiach has the two stages. There's one stage where Mashiach is still in Galus, and then he's suffering, and then it's called Mitzayra. The other stage is where Mashiach will take us out of Galus completely, and there'll be only open goodness in the world, and then he'll be called Tara. I'm looking now at page 496, the second column. The Rebbe says that the connection between Mashiach and Mitzayra is hinted in the name Mitzayra. Mitzayra Shabbos Rebbe. What does it mean? It says like this, Yosef ben Aniye Sevri Chaloy Menugoyim V'nami Menuga. The Rebbe is referring to the story in Gemara that once Rabbi Shua ben Levi asked Melech HaMashiach, asked Eliyahu HaNavi, that could you tell me where I can find Mashiach? Said to him, yes, he's sitting by the gate of Rome. How am I going to recognize him? Because he's sitting amongst people who are sick and afflicted with different kind of diseases and band-aids, and he's one of them. So he said, if he's sitting amongst all these kind of people, how do I know which one is him? And he gave him a sign, and he said, all of them change their band-aids every day. But how do they do it? They take off all the band-aids from the day before and they put on fresh band-aids. You'll see one of the poor people, he does it differently. He takes up a band-aid, replaces it with a new one, and then goes to the next one. Not like the others take off all the band-aids and put on new band-aids. Why is that a sign that he's Mashiach? That because he's waiting any second that Hashem is going to give him the green light and say, go. He's going to be without his band-aids. So therefore he takes off one at a time, that it should be ready instantly as soon as he gets the message to go take Yidden out of Golus, he'll be ready to go. That's what it says in Gemara. So that means the Rebbe says Mashiach is here, Ba'olam Uzman, Mokam HaGolos, V'matam Shal Golos, and he's suffering with us in Golos. In fact, this was the basis to say that Rabbeinu HaKadosh is Mashiach. Amar Rav, and here you see how much people are so unfamiliar with the subject of Mashiach. I remember at the time when, after the stroke, when the Rebbe was not well, and you went out to place to speak about Mashiach, one of the questions people asked was, how could you say such a thing that the Rebbe is Mashiach? Look how the Rebbe's condition is, how not well he is. On the other hand, when you look in Gemara, the Gemara says that the proof, the evidence, the basis to say that Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi is Mashiach is because he was so sick. Here's the Gemara, Omer Rav. Rav said, in Minchayo, if Mashiach is among those that's living, it's Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Here the Rebbe brings Rashi. In Mashiach Moisna Shechayin Akshav, Badai Haidu Rabbeinu HaKadosh, certainly it's Rabbeinu HaKadosh. How do we know that it's him? Because Seuvel Tachloim, being that he's suffering from so many diseases, V'chosad Gomer Heve, on the other hand, he's such a big tzaddik, so it must mean that he is the one who's Mashiach. In footnote 67, the Rebbe says that in this Gemara, where it says that Rabbeinu HaKadosh was Mashiach of that generation, the Gemara also discusses another thing, that there were students that they each one spoke about who is Mashiach. And it says, Dvei Reb Shila, footnote 67, the students of Reb Shila, they said, Shila is his name. And they brought a pasuk to prove it. The yeshiva of Rabbi Yannai said, Yinan is his name. And they brought a pasuk to prove it. The yeshiva of Chanina, they said, Chanin is his name. And they brought a pasuk to prove it. And then others say that Menachem is his name, and then there's a pasuk to prove that. And it's known, by the way, that these four names, they constitute the name Mashiach. Mem is Menachem, Shin is Shila, Yud is Yannai, and the Ches is Chanina. So now look at the footnote to the footnote where it's underlined. There's a star there where it says, if you look in Rashi, Rashi says these words. Look in the Hebrew. Kol echad haya derish achar shmoy. That every one of them brought a pasuk that's consistent with their name. But look what the Rebbe says in the parentheses. V'loisha talmidim chichu sheshmoy kishem rabo. It's not, according to Rashi, it's not the students. They weren't the ones to originate the idea that their Rebbe is Mashiach. It was the Rebbe himself that said that their name is consistent with the pasuk which talks about Mashiach. Seemingly after the Rebbe said it, then the students followed. After the Rebbe says that in this Gemara we see that the students, each yeshiva, claim that their Rebbe is Mashiach, on page 497, look at the top line of the footnote where it's underlined. The Rebbe says these words, Va'anan, and we, who is we? Chsidim, we Chsidim, Nane Abasraya, we should follow their example, V'negeil Rabbi Seinu Nisienu, regarding our Rebbes, and we should also say that our Rebbes and their generation, each one is Mashiach. And specifically, the Friedrich Rebbe, and the Rebbe brings a pasuk, just like for each one of these names, a pasuk is brought to support that this name is connected to Mashiach. The Rebbe brings a pasuk that Yosef is connected to Mashiach and Yitzchak is connected to Mashiach. So this was said that Shabbos, and just to remind everyone, this was said in a time where there was already controversy in the newspapers that Lubavitch says the Rebbe is Mashiach. And at that time, the Rebbe comes out with such a statement, which, by the way, this was edited. This was later printed in the newspapers, in the Algemeine Journal, printed in the Kfar Chabad magazine. Once it goes in these journals and magazines, it goes everywhere. And what does it say? The Rebbe is saying, we Chassidim should follow their example to say that our Rabbeim, this is Mashiach in the generation. Page 501 is where the Rebbe makes the conclusion of the whole Sikha. And he said, that Shabbat, the Rebbe said that it's, as far as Sfiris Ayim is concerned, it's Malchus Shevet Teferes. What's Malchus Shevet Teferes? And again, we didn't go through the details of the Sikha, but that Shabbos was Pirkei Avos, like this Shabbos, the second Perek. And the second Perek begins with these words, Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, Ezo Derech Yishara Sheyover Layodar. What's the right path that a person should choose? And the Rebbe goes into this whole Inyan, what do you mean what's the right path to choose? The right path is the path of Torah. And it's very difficult to go into all the details, of course, whoever wants to could look up this sikh and read it in detail. But the Rebbe explains that what Rebbe is really saying is, what's the right way for a person to bring Mashiach? Now, that's how the Rebbe interprets the Mishnah. And when he answers, Kol shi tiferes lo yisef tiferes lo ben adam, the Rebbe says that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's advice is that the best way to bring Mashiach is through Malchus Shevet Teferes, which was that Shabbos. What's Malchus Shevet Teferes? The Rebbe explains Malchus Shevet Teferes means Teferes is learning Torah, and Malchus Shevet Teferes means learning Torah on the subject of Mashiach and Geula. So let's look at Yud Beis. Ubir Haderech Yishara V'Zgalas Abiyas Mashiach. The most appropriate way, the smooth way, the proper way to reveal Mashiach is through Malchus Shevet Teferes. What does it mean, B'negei L'mais V'Peil, practically? U'Bagdoma. Kiva Shemashiach Tzidkeinu Omed Lovei Tekev Miyad. Being that Mashiach is designated to come imminently. Abladayin Lebo L'Peil, but he didn't come yet in actuality. Shalochein Drusha Hishtadlus Achreina. Therefore we need the last final efforts. Of whom shall call echad ve'echad miYisrael, of every single individual, lahavis haMashiach, tzichalias apulis. So the activity that has to be done is not malchus b'tarasa in yonah shemalach haMashiach atzmai, which I guess means things that are associated with Mashiach himself, but malchus shevet teferes, What does that mean? In Yonish Shal HaMashiach, Malchus Kepishi B'Teira, Teferes. Koma Le'el, that through Teira, in Yonish Shal HaMashiach, B'Tur Rav, Neshachim U'Mesim Adat Teira. The Rebbe brings the Amor Chazal that it says Teferes is Torah. Malchus Shal HaTeferes is Limud HaTeira Ben Yoni Melech HaMashiach Ben Yoni Agula, which is explained in many places. Now the Rebbe goes in detail which parts of Torah should we learn. Torah should be Ksav, Mufrat B'Dibra HaNeviyim, Shekol HaSforim Aleim B'Dobra Zeh. First of all, we should learn the written Torah talks about Mashiach. The Neviyim, which is full of this subject, B'Torah Shal HaPeh and the oral Torah, we should study the Gemara on the subject, especially Masechta Sanhedrin, or Besoif Masechta Seita. And there are two places in the Gemara which is considered the primary place for Mashiach. One is Masechta Sanhedrin, one is Masechta Seita. It's interesting, once a year, all the Chassidim divide amongst themselves the Shas. Everybody takes another Masechta and Shas to study. The Rebbe once said that the Friedrich Rebbe used to take Masechta Sanhedrin. And I think the Rebbe also used to take Masechta Sanhedrin. So naturally, everybody was always wondering, why would the Rebbe take Masechta Sanhedrin? And again, I don't know, and who we to know, but it's just interesting to note that the source for Mashiach in Gemara is Masechta Sanhedrin. Is there a connection between that? Yeah. Sanhedrin is basically the highest authority of Torah, and they're the ones who rule Klal Yisrael. So there's no question that there's a very close association between Sanhedrin and the Melech. But look at the other Masechta where it talks about Mashiach. Besoit Masechta Soita. At the end of Masechta Soita. So it's a little bit strange that Mashiach should be in a Masechta, which is Soita, which represents the opposite of Mashiach. First of all, Soita is talking about a woman who commits a sin. And second of all, spiritually, the Hashem and the Yidden are like husband and wife. So when we talk about Seita, if we talk about it more in a spiritual sense, it says it refers to Yidden who are also not being loyal to Hashem. So that's the opposite of Mashiach. So the Rebbe says in footnote 112 an amazing thing. Al pi ha'omer le'el, based on what it said before in the Sikha, ha'gu'ul ba'de is galus and yoni amiti shel galus. In the middle of the Sikha, one of the big points in the Sikha is that the galus and all its suffering, even though it's suffering and it's negative, that's only on the outside. Internally, its real purpose is geula. And the more we bring that out, the more we talk about it, the more we study this, the more we're aware of this, that the inner purpose of the galus is geula, that brings it out in an open way. So the Rebbe says, this will make it so amazing and special and sweet that Simani HaGaula ain't b'soif v'gemar b'sechta seita k'shurim ha'golos davke the mesechta of seita, which represents golos, you're not being loyal to Hashem, davke in that mesechta you find the inyan of Mashiach. In fact, at the end of it, indicating that the ultimate goal and the ultimate purpose of the golos is Mashiach, and that's really hiding in it. This is very similar to what it says in Tanya, that everything that happens, the chas v'sholem, not good openly, is gamzu l'tayv. But the Alter Rebbe says an amazing thing, that the fact that we have to have a munah, that gamzu l'tayv, that even that which appears to be not good is really good, is not only because I have to believe in Hashem, I have to have an amunah, that goes without saying, but there's another point. The Alter Rebbe says, when I perceive that inside this negative thing, there's really hiding a very big bracha, the fact that I perceive it and believe it that way, that makes it come out in the open and happen actuality. And chas v'shalom, if a person denies that, in a way they're denying the hidden bracha to come out on the outside. When a person has something happen which is not toiv anir v'anigla, for example, they lose a penny, right? Something not good happened, okay? So we know gamzu l'toiva. That means Gamzul Teva means that it's for a good reason. Apichsidis, what do we know? What does this mean? That even with something which happens, which is negative, really there's a hidden bracha here. But the bracha is hidden. And ultimately we'll see that bracha in an open way. Alter Rebbe says in Tanya that what can I do to make the hidden bracha come out in the open? In other words, there is a bracha, but it's hidden. What can I do to make it come out in the open? So the Alter Rebbe says, this belief, this emunah, that I perceive that there's a hidden bracha here, that makes it come out on the open. And faket, if I deny that there's a hidden bracha, which means I don't accept it, or I'm crying because I don't want to accept it, that, in a sense, denies the hidden bracha from coming out on the outside. To give an example, I think he once told the story, it's a famous story of the Mezritcha Magid. The Mezritcha Magid, when his son, the Malach, the Alter Rebbe's Chavrusa, was a very small child, he once came into the house and he was crying. And the Mezritcha Magid said to him, "Why are you crying?" And he said, he was playing a game, and the way they describe the game is very similar to the way children play today, the game called hide and go seek. So we're playing a game, all the children were hiding, including myself, and somebody else was supposed to go find us. And we're hiding and waiting for him to come around, and he doesn't show up. Finally, after a while, we all came out of a hiding place to see what happened. And we discovered that he played a trick on us, which means we're in hiding, he's supposed to go look for us, he went away. I guess he went to eat lunch or something, and they're still hiding. The strange thing was, when he finished telling the Maggid why he's crying, the Maggid started to cry. And the Maggid said that the Eibishter has the same complaint. He hides from us. What does hiding mean? When something is not good, the Gashmi Soberuchos. And the reason why he hides is because he wants us to go search for him and find him. And say that we know that he's really in the hiding, it's really a hidden bracha. And instead of going to find him, we say, "Ah, he's gone," and we disappear. We forget what the objective is. So it's a very beautiful mashal, but let's use that mashal as an example. If a father, that's another mashal sometimes given, sometimes a father hides from his child because he wants to play with him. Or he wants to help develop his mind and his skills. So he hides somewhere and wants the child to go find him. If the child is not smart, he starts crying because the father's hiding. If it's a smart child, he's laughing. He can't find him yet, but he's laughing and he's searching and he opens up the door here. He looks under the table, he looks in the closet and tries to find him. What happens when the child actually finds his father? What does the father do after that? Does he still remain in the hiding place? No. Because the objective has been achieved and he comes out of his hiding place. He doesn't stay there. The whole point was you should find me. Now that you found me, I can step out of my hiding place. The Eibishter hides from us because he wants us to discover that he's really there. So once we discover him, he comes out of the hiding place. So therefore, it says in Tanya that the mere fact that I perceive and I believe and I see the good, and not I see what it is, but I know that there's good in this hidden bracha, that makes the hidden good come out in the open. In the same way here, when we look at goats, and we say that even though it's galus, but in reality it's really geula hidden in this, that alone causes the geula to come out. You know, we have this controversy, sometimes something happens in the world, there's an earthquake, chas v'shalom, or a volcano, and someone comes along and says, "Wow, it's amazing, there's so many earthquakes lately, so many volcanoes lately, so many floods lately, but it's consistent with what it says in the Medrash that before Mashiach comes, there'll be many earthquakes and many floods and many other natural disasters." So you have two kinds of reactions. One reaction is stop talking like that. Chas v'shalom, don't, you know, support this and don't say that it's a good thing. Now no one's saying it's a good thing. What the person is saying is when you see something like that, instead of seeing it only purely as a disaster, or sometimes even seeing this as a sign that we're far from Mashiach, the person is on the contrary. This is what it says will happen when Mashiach comes. In other words, really the blessing of Mashiach is hidden in this. So in this sikha, it appears to be saying that the mere fact that I interpret whatever happens as a connection to Mashiach, that itself makes it come out in an open way. So that's why Dafke, the subject of Mashiach, isn't in the Masechta Sefer. I think one example of this, something which the Rebbe talks about a lot, that's written in the Rambam, that the fact that the Goyim came out with their unacceptable and definitely false interpretations, and they said on that person that he's Mashiach, which is totally disastrous. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says that in one way Hashem orchestrated this, because by doing this, the concept of Mashiach will be publicized to the nations of the world. So we see something as negative as that, it's okay to say that there's a purpose in it, it's supposed to, there's a hidden bracha in it, is connected to Mashiach. Anyway, the Rebbe says to learn the Seita, and the Zoya, and the Medrashim, and in the Sichas, the Rabbeim. And then, let me say Yud Gimel, Papel Mamish, let's read Yud Gimel. In order to accomplish this galus of this Mashiach taking Miyad, every single Jew, men, women, and children, whether it's men that are in yeshiva studying Torah all day, or men that are in the business world, they should add in learning Torah, and especially the subject of Mashiach Agula. And the Rebbe wants that everybody should be part of such a shir berabim of 10 people learning together. In addition to the Maila, when 10 people learn together, the Shekhinah is there. When you learn in Yonim Mashiach together as a group, there's more excitement and it adds to the anticipation of awaiting Mashiach. So therefore, the Rebbe wants us to learn as a group, at least 10 people. And in footnote 19, the Rebbe goes a step further. Even those people that want to dafka learn themselves because they want to be innovative in their learning. Think of deeper insights and interpretations and explanations, and for that they need calmness of mind. They need to be by themselves or with the chavrusa. They can't be with the whole group, then they can't concentrate. Even these people who do that, and it's a good thing, they should also make an effort that from time to time they should also be part of a shir where at least 10 people are learning. The Rebbe also says to add the mitzvah of tzedakah, and then the Rebbe adds another thing, that when you give tzedakah and you think of what Chazal say, G'doylet tzedakah shemakarevet zagula, you give tzedakah and you think about that, so you're also observing the inyan of learning in Yonah Mashiach Agula. Because as you're giving the tzedakah, you're thinking of what the Gemara says about tzedakah, about Mashiach. That's why many people have on their pushkas this phrase, G'doylet tzedakah shemakarevet zagula. Not only is it encouraging you to give more money, but by seeing it and thinking about it, that itself is a way of learning in Yonah Mashiach Agula. At the end of the Fabrengen, the Rebbe concluded, Goyz Boy, he kept page 503, that all this should be befel mamish. Maybe I should just add another thing. Remember I told you that this Shabbos, someone went up and gave mashka and announced that this is in honor of the Fabrengen to celebrate the crowning of the Rebbe as Melech HaMashiach. That Shabbos, the Rebbe said something which he never said before, never said after. What was it? The Rebbe would always say, and now, all those that have brought mashka because they're doing some special event this week should come up and announce what they're doing and invite everybody else. He would say this every single week. This week, the Rebbe said the same thing. The Rebbe is doing an event this week, should come up and make the announcement. But then he added a line. And he said, and this announcement which is made here is heard in all the Eilimus and all of Sefer Shalshim. And it's printed, it came out in the edited also. It just doesn't explain what. I think if someone doesn't understand, wasn't by the Fabrein, wouldn't understand it. But if you look at page 502, 2, 4, 6 lines from the top, on page 502, the second column, it says, Shezoichen l'shmoya ha'achroza, this announcement, Yezoichen to hear, in the whole world, and in this whole of Sefer Shtals, which means in all the spiritual world as well. Like I said, the Rebbe never said it before, never said it after, and he said it after that Shabbos before this particular announcement was made. And the Rebbe concluded that all this should be per mamish l'mata masorat fachim, we should be able to thank Hashem and give the bracha for the birth and the galus of Mashiach, and we should be able to say shechiyonu v'kimonu v'giyonu v'zman hazeh. In fact, the way the Rebbe ended the Fabrengen by saying shechiyonu v'kimonu v'giyonu v'zman hazeh, it almost sounded as if the Rebbe is making the bracha, but without Hashem's name, that there's something that happened that Shabbos which calls for Shechiyonu v'kimonu v'giyonu z'man hazeh, was the beginning of a new era, which is consistent with what it says in the other sichas, that on this Shabbos, and Chav Ches Nissen was like a time of an end of Golus and the beginning of his Golus of Mashiach in a whole new way. This is now 10 years from that sicha. So it should be zeicha that whatever the Rebbe said in the sicha, and whatever happened then should now happen in such a level of Gashmi is to be so concrete, so tangible, that we don't need a sikha to learn it and understand it, but we see with our eyes of flesh. It should be taken in Yad Matzah.